Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. Well, what do you associate a silk blouse or a cashmere sweater with? The rich rather than the poorer, perhaps. Yet silk and cashmere are two of the natural fibres on a long list of others highlighted during this 2009 International Year of Natural Fibres, which is aimed, among other things, at eradicating poverty. It seems at first like a contradiction, but it's not, as you'll find out by taking a closer look at this year, which was launched on the 22nd of January at the headquarters of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations here in Rome. So in an effort to better understand, we speak to Hafez Ghanem, Assistant Director General for Social and Economic Development at this organization.
The objective of the Year of Natural Fibers is to draw attention to the importance of this sector, to its impact on poverty alleviation around the world, and to mobilize support for the development of the sector. Almost all countries produce some natural fiber: cotton, wool, flax, hemp, silk, jute, and sisal are among the most important. But there are many, many more. Production of natural fibers today is worth around $40 billion US dollars a year. And that is money that is important income for the world's farmers, especially in poor countries. For some countries, natural fibers are of major economic importance. Cotton is a major source of income in many West African countries. For example, in Burkina Faso, cotton accounts for more than half of the value of the country's exports. In Benin and Chad, it accounts for about one-third of their exports. Sisal is an important export for Tanzania, and jute is still very important in Bangladesh. In other cases, those fibers are of less significance at the national level, but are of major local importance within the countries. Here I would like to mention the case of jute in West Bengal, sisal in northeastern Brazil, and fiber from llamas and alpacas in the Andes. Millions of very poor farmers and processors in these countries depend on the proceeds from the sale and exports of natural fibers for their income and food security. And that is why we in FAO are engaged in this endeavor with you, because we feel that this is an industry that has a direct impact on the livelihoods of very poor people around the world. On the consumption side, natural fibers have a wide range of uses, from high-priced apparel to industrial applications. They are important materials in clothing and home textiles. Most of you here are wearing some natural fiber, I assume some cotton or wool or silk. Other natural fibers are used in traditional ropes and sacks, but increasingly they are finding their way into a range of newer uses, including pulping for paper and as reinforcement in plastic composites, particularly in the automotive industry. In many of these applications, natural fibers are subject to competition from synthetic substitutes. With the importance of these fibers in mind, especially for the poor farmers, as I just said, in developing countries, the FAO conference in 2005 called on the United Nations to declare 2009 the International Year of Natural Fibers. Consequently, a declaration was made by the General Assembly of the United Nations on December 20, 2006, which asked us in FAO to facilitate the observance of this year.
You may have noticed how Hafez Ghanem highlighted a natural fibre by the name of sisal, And it's about this particular fibre that I wish to focus my attention on right now, by taking you with me to the slopes of the Ozambara Mountains in Tanzania to listen to a success story relating to this fibre. The story is about Habiba, a woman in her 40s who was brave enough to replace the traditional maize she once planted on her farm with sisal, a natural fibre which today replaces asbestos and fibreglass in many composite materials. But before we listen to her story, I'd like to spare a word for those of us interested in plants about sisal. It's a hardy agave, producing some of the nature's longest and strongest plant fibres. A plant which, as you'll discover in a moment, thrives in this country's hot tropical climate, as a far-sighted German agronomist had foreseen back in 1893, when he smuggled into what was then a German colony 66 samples of this succulent plant from its native Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. But getting back to Habiba's story, it's recounted by someone who personally knows Habiba, the managing director of Katani Limited, one of this nation's leading producers of sisal. His name is Salum Shante.
My perspective comes in the form of greetings from a lady called Habiba, who is a Tanzanian sisal farmer. Habiba, a farmer in her 40s, is a single parent with four children, living in a village called Makuyuni on the slopes of the Usambara Mountains in Tanzania. She's feeling more relaxed than a number of her neighbors because she has enough food in her house. She has been able to send her two children to boarding school. She's caring for her sick mother, and she has just completed major repairs to her house. She also contributed generously to the Makuyuni Village School Expansion Fund. Her neighbors are suffering because their maize crop, which is their major economic activity, has failed again due to drought this year. But Habiba has been able to earn money because 6 years ago, she joined an outgrower scheme to grow sisal, a very drought-resistant plant, producing a tough and hard natural fiber. The rain seasons in her village have been getting very erratic. They've been getting shorter, and the land is getting drier. Therefore, having a drought-resistant crop like sisal, which also does not use expensive chemical herbicides and pesticides, is very attractive. Habiba sells her sisal leaves to the processing plant, which is run by a local company, Katani Limited, 10 kilometers away from her farm. The company provides decortication, transport, and extension services to sisal farmers who sell the leaves to produce the fiber, which is sold locally and overseas. Habiba is a member of a cooperative society of 2,100 farmers who have a 40% share in the processing plant in partnership with Katani. Habiba sends her greetings to fellow farmers all over the world who produce natural fibers. She wishes them well in this important year and joins them in urging everybody in the world to discover and support these fibers because they are good for the world environment and they change the lives of millions of very poor people who are producing them. She welcomes them to visit her in Tanzania. She hopes that she'll get the opportunity to visit them in their own countries. These are Habiba's greetings and her words, which have been delivered by me, Salum Shamte, from Tanzania.
You were listening there to the managing director of Katani Limited, one of Tanzania's leading producers of sisal. His name, Salum Shante. And before that, we heard Hafez Ghanem, Assistant Director General for Social and Economic Development at the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in Rome. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.